At 9:31, I will call this special emergency meeting of the Franklin Township Board of Trustees to order. And I would ask Mr. Fleshman, Trustee Fleshman, if he would please open us with prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunities, Lord. As crazy as this world gets, as people shooting at other people, we just ask that you be with us. And Lord, thank you for keeping Mr. Trump safe from bullets hitting him. And Lord, we ask that you be with this meeting. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Jan, would you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Mazur, will you give us a roll call?
Mr. Blevins?
Here.
Mr. Fleshman?
Yes.
And Mr. Leeser?
Yes. I'm going to turn the meeting over to Mr. Mazur at this time.
Thank you, Chairman. Last week, I spent a great deal of time talking with the county prosecutor regarding our situation with the fiscal officer. Basically, what it boils down to is with the other issues that we have regarding the computer and the cell phone are not really germane to the responsibilities of the fiscal officer. They don't consider that an offense that needs to be looked at by the county prosecutor's office. Again, she's an elected official. And until basically what it does boil down to, until she will acknowledge that she is an absent fiscal officer not performing her duties, she is to remain in her position as the fiscal officer. One thing, because I'm sure you're going to have a bunch of questions, one thing I'm going to commend staff here, particularly Robin, and Nicole has helped out. Robin has taken the initiative that we still cut paper checks that need to be signed by the fiscal officer. What Robin is doing is contacting all our vendors, seeing if they will accept an ACH payment or a credit card payment. And she's been extremely successful there. So what we are moving towards is, to be honest, we will not need the fiscal officer to sign checks, that the operations of the township will continue, vendors will get paid. When the circumstance arises that we have to cut a check for an employee, I understand that's the exception. And I'm going to be very honest with the folks here. I'm only allowed to sign purchase orders of $10,000. And this is something that the board will have to discuss. There may be a possibility where we can keep purchase orders under $10,000 and continue the operations of the township. It may be a series of purchase orders. It may not be exactly how the auditor of state would like it, but I don't think all these folks appreciate the fact that the situation we're in now, you can bring this township to a screeching halt. And I get it that and the attorneys agree with me, not only Brosius, Griggs, and Johnson, but the county prosecutor, it's an antiquated system. It's an antiquated statute. And the fiscal officer is only bound by a very small amount of responsibilities in the statute. Anything outside that statute that we have issues with, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So the prosecutor suggested again that we reach out to Lindsay, which we have tried twice. I understand today she's under the weather. But we do need to open a line of communication where basically we need to understand what is she going to do. So in a nutshell, that's where we are today.
Gentlemen, if you don't care, before we go any further, Mr. Mazur, can you read this into the record, please?
Yes, sir. This is the oath of office, and it states, I, Lindsey Justice, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Ohio, and I will in all respects obey and comply with the resolutions, rules, and regulations as set forth by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, and will faithfully discharge the duties of my office. With her signature, Lindsey Justice.
So with that being read, I think that tells you right there, it says follow the resolutions, and we made a resolution that Miss Justice could not come in this building, mm-hmm. but she can continue to do her duties, which she swore to. Mm-hmm. I took this oath 9 months ago, and I was serious about it when I took it. Mm-hmm. And what we're supposed to be doing is protecting this township and making things move forward. She is not. She is holding this township back. We are going to come to a standstill. All these hoops we're trying to jump through and everything, we're not going to get it done. Mm-hmm. We have got to get something done about this, and it has to happen sooner than later. We can't push the can down the street no more. She signed an oath. Listen to what it says. I read it all weekend long. I've had this and been going over it, and we have got to do something. I am willing to meet Miss Justice at the fire station. If she's not comfortable coming to the police station, we've offered, I'll meet Miss Justice I'll open up a 2-hour window on Wednesdays. It would probably have to be Friday. I thought about this because we have our meetings on Thursdays. I will meet her between 11 and 1 on Fridays at the firehouse on Sullivan Avenue. She can come in, do her work, and I'll bring it back. But we've got to get this taken care of. I was hoping to be able to have the conversation with her in person, but we can't seem to get her in person. She came out of a meeting a couple weeks ago and said she was going to have a statement for the people of the township. There's been no statement. You can write a statement. You can send something in. I just asked you to read something into the record. She could do the same thing. She doesn't care.
So, out of curiosity, with the prosecutor, what is his opinion, or what is his stance on a letter, the affidavit being turned in against it? Are they even going to look at it based upon what you're telling us here?
Well, that will initially go through the county prosecutor. That will go through the auditor of state, right, and then the attorney general's office. What the attorney general does with it after that, I don't know if it trickles back down to the prosecutor's office or not.
Because it sounds like to me they're going to look at it just at the same decision that they just gave here. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try.
It's too different.
I'm just curious of what their stance. We understand what they're saying is, I heard what you said, so I'll leave it at that rather than restate it. So the only thing we can do is move forward and see about getting the affidavit signed and sent in and start the procedures.
Can you reach out to Ms. Justice again and see if she is willing to meet at the firehouse on Sullivan Avenue,
mm-hmm.
or even the police station? Police station would be closer for both parties, but the firehouse on Sullivan, if she's not comfortable, is coming to this location.
By invitation. Coming here,
yeah.
If you're invited here, you're allowed to come here, irregardless of what the resolution says.
Correct.
She's just not to work here and be on the property for no other reason.
And that would be an open invite to come in and do her work on those days. Are you sending this to her or talking to her, sir?
Well, my experience is it seems better to send it to her through.
Can you add one more thing on there before you put your pen away, please?
Absolutely.
I'd like that stuff cleaned out of that office, find out what she wants to do about it. If she doesn't give us an answer, then let's put it out in the storage unit or something. We have to conduct business in this office. We've had her stuff in here packed up, ready to go. And if she doesn't care about it anymore, then to at least reach out. We tried to be civil about it and said she could come and get her personal effects.
Right.
They're packed up and ready to go, so we need to move it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You have, looks like you have some more paperwork there for us. But before that, I will commend not only Robin and Nicole, but you on all the hard work you've put in the last few weeks, especially outside of your normal realm of duties.
It's extremely time consuming.
I understand.
And unfortunately, the residents of the township suffer because we can't address their needs when hours and hours are being spent with this one situation.
I can't express for the other two trustees, but for me, it has not went unnoticed, the work you've put in on this. And they have put in for this.
So, Mr. Chairman,
yeah,
there is a resolution that gives our administrator $10,000 ceiling. I think we need to up that so in this time period that if there are situations that come up that vendors can be paid, money can be spent that keep this township moving forward. So we would need to up that amount from $10,000. Is it currently at 10, correct? Mm-hmm.
Let me double check that too, John. I appreciate where you're going with the
because I think we just said it. I don't know if the ORC put a cap on that, but if you can check on that to see what the cap is on that, because it doesn't make sense to break a vendor down twice. So let's just say they're at 17,000. So we end up sending, right, not, you know, 10,000 and then another, another for seven just to equal it. We need to be able to continue this township and be able to pay our vendors and keep things moving.
I'd be more than happy to entertain that and discuss that. Ultimately, just so the residents know, we see the expenditures, regardless if it's Mr. Mazur. We look at his expenditures.
Absolutely.
Just the same as we do the checks that we sit here and we sign and we go over. Mr. Mazur gives it. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good. It's just that I take very seriously when he sends me that agenda for the next meeting, and I think it's been proven in the meetings. I look on there and I ask questions. I don't think if we're allowed to raise him, I believe that's a good way to go, because then we can conduct more
business
without bothering the fiscal office.
Because the one thing that we can't do is allow this township to incur more debt by fees that are associated by bills not being paid. We have seen that in the past. That was, I personally went around and did an affidavit with a past fiscal officer because of, we even had our phone shut off because the bill wasn't being paid. The money is there. The people's money is there in the bank. Our budget is solid and we can't access it or we can't pay things, let alone our payroll. You can imagine people that are working. What stress level has this caused not only on our administrator, our staff, but the employees wondering if they're going to get paid at the end of the week?
Well, another good one to go to what you're just saying, John, is the reason she had to break this down, the assistant is, or Steve's payroll specialist, is because she had people's money that needed to be paid to their municipalities.
Yeah.
And there are penalties if this
Absolutely.
Doesn't occur. The taxpayers for Franklin Township
mm-hmm.
are going to be assessed a penalty. And this is what she's causing us to do because she wasn't willing to come around and sign the checks.
Right.
And so this is just going to cost more money. I've been told Well, I thought you told me, if I'm wrong, correct me, that if she costs the township money, they'll go after her for the money, but you can't get blood out of a rock.
Right, right. So usually what happens in this situation is all of us are bonded. So the bonding agency will make the township whole, and they, as an agency, will go after Lindsay, not the township go after Lindsay.
Well, I'm just going to say I don't have a whole lot of faith in bonding companies.
Sure.
We've had enough dealing with them here,
sure,
and they didn't pay off. They don't answer. They're a little bit like what we're finding out with the fiscal officer. They'll answer questions if they want to answer questions, or they don't answer questions, they don't communicate, and we just seem to let it go. So that's all I'll say on a bonding company.
But as you read this here, and she signed it and took the oath of office, which from my understanding, you can't hold office unless you are sworn in into office. Right. So she was sworn into office. And there's one point in here, Mr. Blevins, that Steve read. Resolution, rules, and regulations set forth by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township. That's us.
That's what I was trying to say, sir.
Yeah.
That's
so I'm just breaking it down where we're at with this. We have communicated that she's going to not be in the building, and the reason, because the hostile environment that she creates when she's here. Secondly, we have set up two different meetings, and she has not been here. The board has came together for a meeting, and she has no regard, and she has not shown up here. Thirdly, go back and look at the meetings, which I know she watches these. She has been told from the day one that she could go to the fire station to do her work. She cannot be that interested in doing these services that she's a sworn duty to hold if there's no communications, MIA, missing in action. She has done nothing for 3 weeks now. One more week will be 30 days that she's been absentee and has not had one call, one conversation, other than I can't come here, or there's always an excuse. Family emergency, got COVID, different things. So, of course, we're only being privy to this 15 minutes before this meeting. Mm-hmm. So, disjustice by misjustice to this township and that of the residents.
I'd like to go back and speak on the point you were talking about with Steve real quick, James. Steve, I know that you did not get, there's times when I spoke to you last week and you were working on this with this particular item, and you cannot have gotten other work done that needed to be done. There's mm-hmm. just, you're one man.
Mm-hmm.
I know in a meeting I made light of it and said you need an extra hand, you need an extra arm. I understand you have staff that's helping you out and everything, but we are suffering.
We are suffering.
The people in the township are suffering because he is just running around taking care of this problem. We have to figure out a way to move past this, and we need to do it today. Whatever that is, we have to figure out a way that this township can move forward beyond her holding us hostage.
Well, I don't know if we can get it done today. Well, Mr. Mazur has to look at the Ohio Revised Code on that. That brings me back to my point I was trying to make earlier before we got sidetracked. To explain to him that he breaks down a spreadsheet. Every PO he signs off on or check he signs off on, he makes a spreadsheet, and we have it broke down line for line for line and exactly what it is. And if we don't understand his explanation, we can ask. So it's not that we won't be checking, like Mike said, we won't be checking his money. Actually, we get a little bigger breakdown, a cleaner breakdown from him than we do from fiscal, and that's just the way it's designed. It's nothing toward the circumstances, but I just wanted to state that. But I don't believe we can get it settled today. because he has to check the Ohio Revised Code, but we have a meeting on Thursday. If that all checks out, can you get us a resolution that we can...
And the amounts that you would need?
I have a feeling it's set at $10,000, but again, I'll probably get in trouble again for bringing this out publicly, but I think we can work around that, well, because we need to. We have services to the citizens that we have to operate, and we have department heads that are trying to do their job. And again, I don't know what the auditor of state will say to me, but you know, it's the township's, it's for the township's benefit, particularly the residents. I say it all the time, you've got to keep the operations going.
We have to.
Now, one thing that I think we have fulfilled that the prosecutor asked me is, have I made any attempts to contact Lindsay, preferably in writing, which we have twice now.
Certified, hopefully.
It's just been text messages, but there's a chain there. It's much like a paper trail. Plus, I did send a letter out inviting her to the meeting today. Through a text message. So I will be back on the prosecutor, with the prosecutor today. I'm sure she's tired of hearing from me. Okay, we have fulfilled this obligation. What next? I think what the prosecutor is saying, again, if I'm repeating myself, I apologize. We basically need something from Lindsay saying I'm absent. So, I will get back to work on this today.
Can you send her that letter that we spelled out here of working at the firehouse and something else you put in there at the end? Oh, cleaning out her office. Can you make sure she gets that? And try to get us a response by Thursday. We have to put this to bed.
Another point here, Robin has diligently been paying our vendors by HCH. Is it
ACH?
AHC.
ACH.
ACH.
Yeah, ACH.
Why would a fiscal officer, with the issues that we had with checks being stolen, supposedly, who knows how that worked, why we didn't do this? It's much safer a year ago.
Well,
it's quicker, more efficient, streamlined.
Why wasn't it done 5 years ago?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's the same question.
Right. But with the security issues that we had with our accounts
recently, it should have been done.
That should have been the very next thing. The next question, sir, Mr. Mazur. Where are we at with Clover? Is that taken care of?
We still do not have that resolved yet.
I just don't understand what the... Well, obviously that's something she has to take care of. But an ongoing situation like that, to your knowledge, has she made any contact or anything in the last 3 weeks with Clover?
From my understanding, no. No. Robin, again, is working... The trustees passed a resolution authorizing her to take care of this account. And from my understanding, we still do not have a response from Clover saying, okay, Robin can sit in the seat of the fiscal officer from the resolution passed by the trustees to resolve this Clover issue.
So again, Robin is not a subject to her or an employee to Lindsay Justice, is that correct?
Right.
So in other words, she can't say that, well, I had Robin working on it.
Can she speak
for a second? Not yet. Okay.
Yes. And one of the questions...
Yes, she can say it, or yes, she cannot say it?
she cannot say that Robin is an employee of the fiscal office. If that answers
yes.
Yes, okay. One thing, too, that the prosecutor said, because I threw a couple options out, I said, can we appoint a deputy? And again, it goes back to, it's under the discretion of the fiscal officer. If the fiscal officer is absent, which is a point I'm trying to stress, are the trustees not able to appoint like an assistant or a deputy fiscal officer to keep the operations of the township moving forward? She asked, well, give me an example. I said, well, could Robin as a payroll specialist? And she said, no, because there may be a time that Robin has to sign a check. But in the past, we've had checks signed, whether it goes to the fiscal officer or whether it's Robin, that checks have been signed.
Right, we gave the authority to
I
do that.
I threw another option out. I said, can it be me? And she sent me this lengthy thing. It was an opinion by Thomas Ferguson back in 1977 that said, no, an administrator works basically directly for the trustees and they cannot cross over to that fiscal world. So it all goes back to, is the fiscal officer absent or not?
What about Jeff Wilczek?
Well, I didn't even go down the road because, and that's a great option, because even the chief, well, there may be a time where the chief of police has a check and he needs to sign it for his benefit.
So then that's Jeff Wilczek because he gets paid, so he's not gonna.
This is what I'm saying, because the law is so antiquated and so worded so specifically regarding a fiscal officer, it's very difficult unless the fiscal officer wants to say I'm incapacitated or absent. It's very hard to supersede an elected official, the fiscal officer, and in this case, her authority, her abilities.
Backing up, John was asking if she's contacted Clover. Just for the record, is her phone on? Does she still have her phone, and is it on?
Yeah, Nicole, I'm sorry, you wanted to interject.
Yes.
Her phone is on.
Emails?
Does she have access to her emails through her phone? I received a text from her asking that we turn her email back on.
Her email was never turned off. She just has to probably contact Red Group to get a password reset. But her phone, in order to recover the Apple ID, her phone, SIM and IMEI, was transferred to a different device not in her possession.
Okay.
So that I could do that Apple ID recovery process.
Okay.
So technically, the physical device that she's holding does not have active service capability.
Okay.
But her email's it's not deactivated or nothing. Her email's still, I haven't done anything with her email.
So it just needs.
So does she have access to retrieve phone messages that come into the township when you press her extension?
I would imagine so. I've never used my voicemail in that manner.
But does she have a way to check those messages other than coming in?
I think that's a capability that the phone system offers. Like if you call in, you can check your voicemail remotely. But I don't know. I can check with our phone guy Jeff.
Can you forward your phones?
Yes.
I have it.
Okay. You can forward your calls to your voicemails to a different device. But I can ask Jeff if they have, do you know if you can remotely call in and check your voicemail?
You can, but they also go to your email. So if she has access to email, she would get her voicemails.
Okay.
She does have her phone, and it is on. You just had to.
She has her physical device, but it does not have active service because her phone number was her phone number and her SIM information was transferred to a different device so that I could do the Apple ID recovery that you guys were made aware of.
Sure.
How about
Clover? Can you give us an update on Clover?
From my knowledge, on the day that she was, I guess, restricted from coming here, on the day that everything came together, that day she sent an email to Clover questioning why Nick Dunn was still in the account and why insurance was added to the credit card reader and requested it to be removed. I don't know anything from there. I just know it was that day that she sent that email. It wasn't prior to.
But our understanding is the reason, and this might be a good question for Robin, I'm sorry if you don't know, but the whole reason that we're being charged for the insurance is because we didn't...
Because she failed to provide our insurance information to Clover in advance or throughout any of that period of time to let them know that we do have our insurance policy to cover it. And so because of that lack of information provided to them, they added the insurance.
And this has been months?
Months, yeah.
It's, what is it, 29? 25, 29?
I believe it was like $25.
A month?
Yeah, because I've had this credit card reader. She told me when she ordered it, I've had it for at least 6 months, at minimum. So during that whole period of time, that information was never provided to them.
Okay.
And there were multiple mailed documents from them stating what needed to be done that were on her desk that I cleaned up.
Okay. Thank you.
Her phone can be transferred back. Her phone number can be transferred back to her.
Bless you.
To her physical device that she's holding. If that's what you guys wanted, I would just need her device to do that. Otherwise, she needs to turn the device back in.
So the biggest thing is this could have been worked out today had she been here to talk to the board.
I don't know where you guys are at on it, but can we also in that letter you're going to send to her, possibly if these guys, I'm not making a decision here alone, but that way she has capabilities to get her phone back, turn back on, give her an invite to come down and see Nicole, to have her phone turned back on.
Yeah, or yeah.
That way she can get her emails on the phone.
She can leave it at the station.
Yeah,
Nicole she can, or over she can with, leave it over with Chief, she, and then she can do it.
Chief, would you be able to pick it up and bring it over?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. So we can be very accommodating. It's the lack of talking to us. We can sit here until we're blue in the face, but without hearing straight from her,
I agree.
There's nothing that we can do. Every time we make concessions and try to do something, well, that's not good enough. It won't work.
Well, I'm not willing to make a concession on that because we're not being able to be assured that she's going to be the one using the phone, and I am not in the business of providing phone to other people, especially that phone. That phone could have had information on it that was germane to this township, and we know for a fact other people had the phone. So I would be a no vote if it goes to a vote.
Yeah, you know what Mr. Blevin said, that is a very good point that you're making.
Yeah.
The fact that she personally gave that phone to leave her possession and be using someone else using that phone and at a different location, texting Lindsay from her work phone, conversations back and forth, it's not in her possession. It is for the township purpose. It's a privilege to have the phone, not a necessity. We provide phones, computers, and a place to work. So her having a phone is a luxury, not a necessity.
I can see that.
So without us knowing, Mr. Blevins, without us sitting here, speaking to her, answer some of the hard questions, I concur with you. I am not going
yeah.
to hand a loaded gun over to a child
mm-hmm.
because we don't know what's going to happen with that. With the mistakes that we have seen that cost this township hundreds of thousands of dollars, we can't give her a loaded gun, basically. So her not sitting here to answer some of these questions, we can provide her with a landline. We can provide her with a computer. She has the tools to do the job. You just have to come in and do it.
Let's state publicly, too, that we are a board up here, and all communications should come to all three trustees.
Absolutely.
Not to just one trustee or to Mr. Mazur. We are supposed to work in tandem, and so I would love for her to communicate to all three of us.
I think it'd be a great
with
idea.
Things like that. And that's why I'm happy. I have no ill feelings towards Ms. Justice. We could sit in that firehouse. She could do her work. We can be totally silent, or we can speak to one another respectfully. Whatever she chooses to do, but let's move the township forward. Let's stop penalizing the taxpayers, and that's what's happening here.
So
even my opinion,
even with the amount of workload that this board has gave the okay, that we made concessions and move things around, so all she has to do is come in and sign and leave, and she still gets $33,000 a year plus benefits for coming in 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. The whole point that I'm getting at is she is not doing what she pledged she would do. She ran for office, asked the public to vote for her. They did. Should we wait another 3 years and 2 months or 3 months to replace her with someone else? I don't think so.
I would love to get her in here to answer these tough questions, but as we have in the past, it hasn't worked out yet. Can you send her that letter? Check with the ORC. I think we just keep sitting here going back around. And
we just keep trying to pin the tail on the donkey.
And then we'll have another report for the residents on Thursday. Hopefully, Ms. Justice can get back to you with the communications that you send her before Thursday, and we have the answer.
She's more than welcome to show up on Thursday. Seats here.
We invite her to the meeting on Thursday. Well, if she has COVID, she may not be able to make it this Thursday. But
I just wanted to extend the invitation.
Yep. Nope. So the invitation is to come to a meeting at any time,
and we'll be more than willing to put her. She can make her public statement to the public at any given time in any of our meetings.
Yep.
Address the.
All right, anything else, gentlemen?
Steve, you need anything else from us?
No, I appreciate you taking the time this morning to have this meeting, because there's a lot going on, and I actually think after having this meeting, we're seeing some light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, Jeff has been extremely cooperative. I asked him to help. We have bank reconciliations that haven't been completed since May or June. Jeff has said he would help us with those. We have to prepare for the budget for 2025. Jeff said he would be more than happy to help Robin and me establish the budget for 2025. He'll present a new letter of engagement with the board to review, adding these couple duties. So at least that will get us caught up with the bank reconciliations and get us moving into 2025, and then we can cross that bridge when we get to it, once we get into 2025.
Mr. Chairman, in lieu of this special meeting and the fact that the residents did come out for this, would you entertain taking any questions if they have any?
Real quick, because I have a meeting I have to be after my regular job.
I'm just wondering if using certified mail might be a more
I have brought that up.
Yeah, I know. I heard you guys talking about it. It's like, you know what? That gives us a true chain because it requires a signature to come back. And should that person not do that, you know what I'm saying?
Well, she's obviously getting the messages because she knew she was supposed to be here this morning.
True.
And she wrote back and said she had COVID.
So
we have proof that she got the message.
True, but if it has her signature on it.
You know, if she doesn't answer the door and doesn't, they're only going to come to your house twice.
True.
If you don't answer the door, then you have to go to the post office and pick it up. If she doesn't answer the door, she isn't going to go to the post office and pick it up.
Yeah,
and we're talking 10 more days.
Yeah,
so.
You got it.
But it's a thought.
Yeah.
It's a good thought.
It's like, okay, woman, knock this crap off. You're not 10. You know?
Anyone else? Anything
thanks,
else?
I hate to say this. I have two things real quick. I do have everything almost together. It'll be ready Thursday.
Okay.
For the affidavits. Second, I mean, if she's failing to do her job, I mean, can't you just say, we're going to go ahead and move forward as if she vacated her position?
Brenda, that's kind of what we're trying to do now with the ACH payments,
mm-hmm.
with the purchase orders. Basically what and I think John and the other board members have said this, and I'll repeat it, we're just asking for 10 minutes every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're asking for.
30 maybe. Not a whole.
And with the work that Robin's doing right now, you know, there could have been a stack of checks this high unsigned, mm-hmm. that vendors are waiting for payment. So Robin has dwindled it down to this, and she's still working on that. And granted, vendors, I think, would rather be paid electronically because they get it now.
Correct.
And the mail system is.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about the mail system.
So, yeah, we are trying to just kind of skirt the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's why, again, Jeff has been gracious enough to say, I'll get you through this year.
I want to put 2 cents in. With all the money that she has the control over, you know, as far as the checks paying this, paying that, if it was your money coming out of your pocket, what would you do? You would be right there in my face saying, hey, do your job, give me my money. Okay, the Marine Corps in me is saying, or I'm going to help you. Something's got to be done. 30 days is a long time.
And we're trustees and we pay taxes too.
Yeah,
yeah right.
So
yeah.
I understand exactly what you're saying. I feel it on both ends. And I get paid for doing this job. And so I feel like it's all three of us. It's not, I keep saying me, but it's all three of us. Believe me, we have spent numerous calls back and forth talking about things that you're allowed to just talk. You can't make a decision.
We never knew.
Everything we can do behind the scenes, we're doing it. We want to move this ball down the field. We want this to come to a resolution. An end.
Unfortunately, our hands are tied on a lot of things, as Mr. Major explained today.
Yeah, she's holding us hostage.
All right, if there's nothing else, I do have...
Just one real quick.
You're never quick. you just said, I got one, and now you got another one.
She could have
one.
Already been done by now.
Hey, yeah.
Mazur is only allowed to spend $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Ohio Revised Code. And I was actually reading that this morning because I was trying to also think how you guys were thinking outside the box on how he could do it. He's going to have to do it. If it's $17,000, it's going to have to go out in 2 payments.
Well, we think it has to, but we have to go through our legal channels to make sure.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that.
I don't think Mr. Wilczek. No, I'm answering a question.
Okay.
I don't think Mr. Wilczek can be the one because he is a fiscal officer.
No.
He is not.
But he gets a check, though. He gets a check himself.
He gets a check. Oh, okay. Well, someone told me that he was a fit.
He works for the board.
He works for us. Okay, but I'm trying to say it's not important.
I appreciate you looking at the options. That's exactly what we're doing here.
I understand, yeah.
The only way we could do that is find a CPA, and then, but then we still have to pay them, too.
Get that hammer on, big boy. So.
Sorry, Jim.
Adjourned.
There you go.
That's all right.
Mike was trying to say that he's also.
I understand. Well, yeah, I got. Yeah.